Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome to The Lighthouse. We are thrilled to be on air this evening, and we have a wonderful show tonight. I am your host, Tina Godin, and with me also hosting are Shannon Johnson and Natasha Scott. I know all of us are so excited to have our special guest, Dennis Miranda, on the show with us this evening. Welcome, Dennis. Thank you so much for being here. And just welcome, welcome. I am so excited to have this interview with you. We have lots and lots of questions. And just thank you so much for being here.
Hello, hi. Thank you so much for having me. This is so exciting. Thank you.
Thank you. Can you guys hear me okay? I just had a little pop-up.
You're good.
I'm good? Okay, sorry. Sorry about that. We'll edit that out. So Dennis, you sent me your bio, and I want to read your bio here out loud for our listeners. And if you just want to just give me 1 second here. So Dennis writes, my name is Dennis, and I am a psychic medium from Australia. Being empathic as a child and teenager, I was always told that I was too sensitive. I started developing my mediumship in my 20s and pushed myself out of my comfort zone to be able to tune in and develop myself as a medium. Losing my mom to cancer as a very young child spurred me on to understand more about life after death and want to maintain a relationship with her. So Dennis, that is just beautiful. Thank you so much for sending me that bio. And so first things first, I just wanna go backwards a little bit for when you started to, when was that aha moment, or, you know, how early on in your years do you remember spirit?
I think when I reflect back, I remember being in my early 20s, really kind of noticing spirit and really, really picking up on them. But when I say that, as I reflect back on my childhood, I picked up things and I knew things that I couldn't quite articulate or explain as a child. And it was quite early on in my childhood. I grew up, you know, having a lot of issues. Was afraid of the dark. I hated being on my own. I always had that feeling of I'm being watched. I can feel eyes on me. I'm not quite alone, even though I look around with my physical eyes and there's no one there. And so I feel things. I'm a big feeler. So I literally feel energy. And so that's in the bio when I said that I was always told I'm too sensitive. That's me even today. I've always been that kid, that child. So yeah, it was early childhood that I really kind of sensed it and picked up on it, but it wasn't until early adulthood that I really started noticing. I was drawn more to picking up on, okay, this is it, you know, is this really what I'm experiencing? Is this what it is?
Yeah, I have had those same experiences as well. Did you, when you were, before you really knew what was really happening, did you second guess yourself? Did you think that, you know, no, this can't be happening. This has to be my imagination. Did you go through that as well?
Oh my goodness, yes. Oh, back and forth many, many, many times. I was really drawn to, in those early years, in my late teens, early 20s, I was really fascinated by psychics and mediums. I would binge watch so many. I was drawn to them. I didn't even know why, but I felt them. I was so intrigued. So I'd literally watch Crossing Over with John Edward. I'd get onto YouTube and I'd watch other mediums. I'd watch John Holland. I'd watch Lisa Williams. I'd watch all of them and I'd read their books. I'd buy books and I'd read it, you know, cover to cover. And I would just, anything that I could get my hands on, I'd watch it, I'd read it. I'd want to know more about it. But even though I was doing that, I was still going back and forth with, no, you can't really you know, this isn't real, this isn't happening, I'm making this up, surely I'm making this up, this can't be really real. So I absolutely back and forth many, many times.
Yeah, and then I think, you know, for, I don't know if this is your experience, so I'm going to ask you about that. You know, you go through that, and then there's this, it's kind of like a shake, right? Like, you know what I mean? So something profound just happens to you where you, it just sparks something within you, and you are just awake, right? And you just, now you're not second guessing it. And now you know without a doubt that you are connecting to spirit. So what was that like for you?
So for me, that happened when my husband and I decided to move away. We were living in Sydney, so we decided to kind of, where all my family is, and we decided to move away. Well, I decided to move us away. I needed to get away. I just needed to get away. I had to get, you know, get out, and we moved away. And so it was then, when we moved out to more rural, where we are now, close by Darren's family, that I started really picking up on my mediumship, and really started, that aha moment for me was like, okay, I know I can do this. And it was that kind of light bulb moment for me that was like, I loved working with spirit. I loved that feeling I got when I get to channel and work and represent spirit. I just, I loved it. That was that aha moment, was when we moved away. Absolutely. And and it's kind of been, and it's been something that I've, been kind of, I don't know, worked on ever since. It's a constant thing that you're working on anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I remember when I first came, I just first met you, right? And it was, I mean, we're talking probably about, I would say, like 3 to 4 years ago, right? So for me, from my perspective, there I was on the computer looking at, and I love watching other mediums work. I appreciate, because everybody, we all work different, right? And I just love to watch other people's gifts, you know, and what they're saying, and it's beautiful. So I was watching a video you happened to be on, and I'm thinking, who is this guy? Oh my goodness, he's so good. And he's connecting just like that. And I have to watch him again and again. And so another time you would be in this group and you were on again. And I just remember being just so in awe and mesmerized at, this is incredible. And I, you know, and I could feel the goosebumps, and I could feel as well, you know, like when you were connecting, and I'm just like, oh, and I just, in the way that you're just so genuine too. And, you know, it's, you have this special thing about you that when, you know, everybody feels, and I know the people that are listening and that know you, I know they feel it too, that when you make that connection to someone's loved one, you feel the emotion completely. And I know your audience feels that. And just to witness you channeling for other people is absolutely beautiful. And I just wanted to let you know that.
Wow. So
that's how I met you, seeing you. And, you know, here we are today. You're on our show, and it's such an honor to be able to interview you.
That's so lovely. I never knew that, actually. I never knew that. That's amazing. I feel very humbled. Thank you so much. That's amazing. Wow.
You're welcome. So now let me ask you this. So you're channeling, you're starting to realize you're making these connections. Now, did you start studying? Was it books that you read? Was there, you know, classes that you took that helped you hone in on your gifts?
In the beginning, I'd read books. I've read a lot of different books by different, you know, popular mediums that have, you know, that are out there, like I've mentioned earlier. So I did a lot of that. And I'd literally watch, like I said, I used to watch YouTube. I'd literally watch other mediums literally perform. Classes, I didn't really take any classes. You know, I didn't really do any of that. For me, I it was just kind of an intuitive gut kind of push that came from something that was beyond myself. You know, so as a kid, I'd always talk to my spirit guides. I'd had those imaginary friends. So I was always in contact with my spirit guides. And so for me, it was kind of that intuitive, instinctive kind of angelic spiritual push to do it. As nervous as I was very, very nervous when I first started kind of doing readings or getting myself out there on camera. The first time that I did anything, you know, over the internet, oh my God, I was a bundle of nerves. I was so nervous that people would think you're a fake, you're a fraud, you're making this up. Am I right? Am I wrong? All of that jazz, been there, done that, been through all that. So, yeah, the only kind of class that I have taken, I did take a class online with Lisa Williams. That was like a we did circles where we'd practice on one another. So I did that, which was a lot of fun, and I got a lot out of it. But other than that, I haven't really done any classes or anything like that. It's just been, yeah, like I said, and kind of just an instinctual, intuitive kind of thing that I've just kind of, you know, deep, you know, dive in the deep end of the pool and just sink or swim and just go for it. That's kind of what I did.
Well, even I mean, taking those classes, the circles with Lisa is a class. And so you get to, they're amazing, and you get to practice with other students within her community. And you know, it's an amazing community to be in, and she's an amazing teacher as well. Fabulous. And so, you know, that is, and you're always learning. And it, you know, some classes like you took with the circles are formal, some are informal of the way that you learn. And again, we watch others work, we look at videos, you know, so within the spiritual community, I think we all learn from one another. And I think it is a big school in itself, right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yep.
So it's fabulous. And I know that you've touched the hearts of many, many people that you've given readings to. You can go ahead and view Dennis's website. There's reviews on there as well. And at the end of the program here, Dennis, you can just let the audience know your website and where they can find you as well. But I know, and the many times that I have seen you work, it is fabulous and it's amazing. And you give a lot of comfort, bring a lot of comfort for people. So
Thank you very, very much.
you're welcome. And with that, I'll turn that over to Shannon Johnson.
Hey guys. I know Dennis fairly well, so I've just been sitting over here trying to think of now what can I ask that we can discuss? Now, Dennis is also a healer too. But I know that's one of the areas that you are still in early stages of working with and developing. And your nursing career is very aligned with that. So if you could share a little bit about how you have married and been learning to marry your outside public career in nursing and bringing that healer energy in with your empathic abilities. That's a challenge. And the mediumship as well, being able to hone in with spirit when you're needing to, and how that assists you as a nurse. And congratulations on returning to school as well.
Well, yes, thank you. Thank you. I'm literally in the midst of nursing school. I currently work as an assistant in nursing in aged care, which I love. And I'm studying to be, I don't know if you have them in America, but we call them enrolled nurses. So that's a level below an RN, a registered nurse. I'm learning that. So through my mediumship and through my work with spirit, in especially as I kind of progressed on with my readings, I noticed a bit of a theme I felt that when people would come for readings, It was to connect them with grandma who'd crossed over, or with mum or dad or whoever that they had in spirit. But I found that there's so much more that goes on in when with regards to a reading. There's so much more going on for people than what we realize. We all have our unhealed trauma, and we all have our stuff that we're working through and sifting through. And I'm only beginning to realize and tap into the healer part of me. Marrying up the two has been quite, it's interesting. It's been interesting and fascinating. So that's been interesting. But I do believe that, when people would come for readings, it's always been that thing. Well, okay, yes, I'm connecting with your grandmother, but then what about all this other stuff that I'm feeling, that I'm picking up on, that I know is there? And then for me, I'm like, well, how can I best serve not only spirit but the person that's in front of me? Because there's just so much there to unpack and do. And so I'm literally working through my own stuff as well, because I certainly didn't get to where I am, without having to divulge and deep down and sift through some of my own trauma myself. And that's just an ongoing constant thing that I'm going to have to keep doing no matter what, I think, anyway.
Yeah, I'm sure Natasha can relate to that as in her healing work as well. We need your volume, Natasha. Your sound. We see you. We see your lip. Yes, now we hear you. Yay! There's Natasha. Yes. You were saying? We hear you. Yes. Now we hear you.
Can you hear me?
Now we can. Can you hear us, Natasha? We can hear her, but I don't think she could hear us.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. I was just going to say that in Canada, we have an RNA, which is a registered nursing assistant. I think that's what it is. That's what we have here. And one thing I was going to say, like when you're dealing with patients, is if you can picture them healthy and happy, you're giving them so much healing. So you're giving them the physical healing, and then you're also giving them spiritual and emotional healing by picturing them well, right? Because when someone has like a family member that's sick or anything like that, people don't do that around them. They tend to, panic, but they just kind of feed the sickness by seeing them as sick and treating them as sick. And that really pulls down the person's vibration.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. I love that. And I remember when you got thrown on air in the beginning, back, and I'm sure Natasha remembers this because it was just as Natasha and I were leaving the show of Enter the Light with Ryan Adragna and Jan Bakke, and Dennis came in right behind us because Ryan dragged you kicking and screaming. And I remember him talking to me about you a couple of times of you really need to hear this guy, you need to hear him, you need to listen. And I was like, okay, well, you need to give me an opportunity, but I was needing to get off air for a little while. And then I heard you on air and it was like, I get it now. But I remember you were so nervous. Yeah. And our dear friend Ryan was just like, I'm throwing you to the wolves. So, but I mean, honestly, for quite an experience, can you share a little bit about how that helped you kind of work with that trust and fear issue? And would you do it again that way?
I remember the message that Ryan kind of sent me that day, asking if I would be interested. And I remember when I got the message from him, I remember thinking, oh my God, like, has he got the right person? Like, is this really real? Oh my God, I was so nervous. I was so, so nervous. And the thing is with me, and my guides have kind of been telling me this my whole life, but they've said to me that there are going to be moments and times in your life when you're going to need to step out of your comfort zone. You're going to need to push yourself, as scary as something may be, or as worried as you might be, push yourself and work through it, because we promise you that the end result, you know, it will be something that'll be bigger than you. It's going to be something that'll benefit you and really, really help you. So as nervous as I was, it was me and Michael Christopher that came on board. And in the very first show that we did, I felt so nervous. I thought, oh my God, I'm this amateur. Like, what am I doing here? Like, oh my God, is this really happening? So I was battling all that, but deep down I knew that, when it comes to working with spirit, you know, they're the one constant thing that you can always depend and rely on, because spirit's always there. They're always there. They always want to communicate. You give them an opportunity and bang, they're going to take it. That's been my experience and my belief. Would I do it again? Absolutely would I do it again. Holy moly, yeah. Absolutely. It was a lot of fun. I loved it. I reminisce on those days. And you know what? I will always reflect on that and thank Brian for that, because if he hadn't have presented me with the opportunity, who knows? But I'm always kind of thankful and grateful that he kind of gave me that opportunity. He was a really special, amazing guy, really. So that was pretty cool. Yeah.
definitely. And he was good about, hey, hooking people up of, you need to meet so-and-so, and so-and-so needs to meet so-and-so, and putting it together many, many times. But yeah, it's a totally different seat, I think, especially when you're first starting out and you're doing those cold one question readings on air like that. I mean, it definitely is exercising those muscles a lot more than, you know, we realize. And I mean, Natasha would several times say, I don't really do anything, I just pull a card. But so many times in our show, it'd be like she'd pull the card and it was coinciding with everything that all of us were receiving parts of, and it would fit together. And that's one of the things I really love with doing, you know, group type of work. So I know you had done a group scenario in your local area, correct? Where you did a group reading session. Are you going to be expanding those?
I had a little event. I did my first event, my first evening, an evening of mediumship readings, a gallery style read. So I did that, my very first event. Oh my God, I was so nervous. I was battling nerves that night. It was an evening, it was at a local cafe. That was before, you know, that was while COVID restrictions weren't really there and we were allowed to host things like that. So I was thankful and grateful that I was able to. The local cafe in town were gracious to host me. It was a couple of hours of me doing just reading. That was, oh my goodness, that was a time when I felt the push. I have this push coming from again, it was that feeling of something beyond me that was just pushing me that you need to do this. You've got to do this. You have to experience this. You need to do this. And so I knew it was, I could feel the buildup of it coming. I knew it was there. I was very nervous. But I'd felt this push, and my lovely, beautiful husband helped me organize it, because he's such an organizer. He's such a planner. God, he's great at that. So he literally whipped up and bang, organized the event with me. And so, yeah, I do. I would love to do more. I've kind of haven't been able to do that, you know, with the whole COVID thing and now with nursing school. So I'm a bit, wee bit little busy, but yeah, absolutely. You never know. Never know.
Maybe you'll end up doing a Zoom one or something like that.
Yeah, you never know.
Never know. Yeah. They like to present those things, don't they? You know, because even for us, we had been trying for many, many months of getting together. And I swear, every time that Dennis and I tried to schedule this session for him, we were planning a past life regression for him. Every time we'd have it scheduled on the books, we're good to go. Whoop. There it would go again. It would take off out the door, and he would have to message me and be like, I can't do it. And then Spirit was like, suddenly, hey, by the way, here's the date. Can you do that date? We locked it in so quickly, and it went absolutely beautiful. It was a wonderful, wonderful session. But we were both cracking up about how, when you're trying to make something happen that you really want to happen, but it involves Spirit as that third party, it's no longer on your time. It's on theirs. And they will throw you that curveball over and over again until that timing is right. So I can totally see you doing a lot more gallery type of sessions on a on an international stage setting. So yeah.
That past life regression was amazing. I've said to people, I would highly recommend it. You know, the one that you did with me was really it was an amazing experience. And oh my God, because like you said, I wanted to do that for ages, but it just couldn't. I was getting frustrated because I'm like, what is going on? Why won't you guys let me do it? I just want to do the session. Why am I getting like, what's going on? I remember messaging Shannon thinking like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I have to cancel this again. This has come up. That's come up. I'm just feeling like I'm being blocked. Oh my God, what's going on? But divine timing strikes again. And I love it because Spirit's like, yeah, well, we'll do it when we think, you know, when things are aligned and when we're ready. And, you know, it's just one of those things, you just go with the flow. And but when we did the session, yeah, it was amazing. I still reflect on it today. It was awesome. It was so it was amazing. What can I say? It was so amazing. I loved it. So yeah, thanks for that.
Anytime. But yeah, I can see. It's so funny because we all are getting so challenged right now with COVID last year and into this year, and still trying to move forward in so many ways. And yet we're having to be like, okay, how can I do it this other way? What other way is there? And Spirit just is like, yeah, you ready? Are we doing this? You know, so it's pretty fabulous. And I'm so thrilled for you about school. So I understand these bigger events having to take a little bit more time to get into. Definitely.
Yeah, it's all part and parcel of helping me get to where I want to go. And I've learned, I know that, you know, Spirit's kind of been telling me, because I was questioning with me prior to me, and I've spoken to Shannon, I've kind of spoken to you about this, but I was debating whether to go to nursing school, whether to do it, because I thought there was a part of me last year. I remember having a conversation with a friend of mine who also did it, and my husband's, you know, a nurse as well, like I said, you know, but my friend was like, well, why don't you do it? And I said to her, but I'm not ready. I don't know if that's what I want to do. And I remember sitting with my guys and I said to them, but if I do nursing school, doesn't that mean that my mediumship's going to suffer? doesn't it mean that everything I've worked really hard for in terms of developing myself as a medium is going to just be on the back burner? Then what? What if that goes away? What if I can't channel anymore? What if, I don't know, spirit disappears? What if that just doesn't happen for me anymore? And I was worried, like, you know, I didn't want it to seem like I've just worked so hard to get to where I am as a medium, and I'm just going to leave it and abandon it. Like, just to, so I really debated that for a while. But you know, through the past life progression as well, it taught me a parcel of, you know, helping me get to where I want to go, with learning more about the healing aspect of things, and learning more about how I connect with spirit and why I connect with spirit, and all that jazz. So it's all part and parcel of learning, because we're forever learning. You're forever learning, and just when you think you've got things figured out, spirit likes to, like, you know, mix it up a bit, and you might think you know where you're going to go, and in your mind you might have a clear plan of where you want to go, but then, you know, end up going down another path, another direction. But it really serves. It really does serve you to help you get to where you're going to go. So that's what I think anyway.
I totally agree. I totally agree. Natasha, do you have a question for Dennis?
Oh, I was just going to ask Dennis what type of energy healing he wants to learn.
I don't really know, to be honest. I don't know what kind of energy healing. I'm looking into all different types at the moment, but I don't really have a clear, in my mind, I don't really have a clear idea. I'm a big believer in, I'm just going to kind of trust my gut and intuition, because I always believe it never leads you astray. That was one thing that my guides always told me as a kid: never lead you astray, trust your gut, trust your instinct. So I'm going to trust my gut instinct on it. And as I kind of dive more into it and learn more and discover more, I know that I will eventually kind of, I'll resonate with something, and I know it'll kind of be the thing. I'll feel it. I'll know it when I feel it, and it'll guide me, and I know it'll work out, yeah, as it's meant to. Yes. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I have a question, Dennis. So with nursing, with the nursing work, do you find that when you're taking care of a patient that you're having telepathic thoughts, or you're already knowing where they're hurting without them saying anything to you, and you're getting impressions, whether it be, telepathically or clairvoyantly? Are you experiencing that in addition?
So I've noticed with the nursing side of things, especially when it comes to palliation, because working in a nursing home with the aged, we deal with death. So I deal with death from spirit, and I deal with death, at work as well. So I have had, patients, residents, clients that have passed away, literally, like, they're right there in front of me. And those, so yeah, for me, I'm a big feeler. I'll get that kind of, claircognizant to clairsentient kind of feeling. They're the two biggest, when it comes to communicating with spirit, it's the clear cognizance, the clear sentience, or the clear feelings and the clear knowing. That's what it is for me. I'll literally feel them, especially if they're, in the process of passing away, and I can feel, I'll know, okay, this person's, they're done. They've had enough. They're ready to go. And a lot of the times, I'll go in there, when I've got time during my shift or towards the end of my shift, I'll duck in there and I'll just say to them, listen, it's okay. It's okay if you need to go, and it's your time, and you're ready to transition. It's okay. You can go, especially because not all of them have loved ones. Not all of them, especially now with COVID, and a lot of the nursing homes are in lockdown. So loved ones can't go in to see their family, but they can't go in to see their loved ones. So, I often find myself, just going there and supporting them and doing that. And sometimes it's that moment of just letting them know that, it's okay when they're ready to go, that they can do that, and like you were saying earlier, sometimes when, there's different medical things going on, I have noticed lately that I'm like, you know, they're telling me, oh, this is wrong, or I'm feeling this, or I'm feeling that. And I could almost feel it. I could almost sense and feel, I could just sense and get where they're kind of, like, I just can feel it. I know that there's something more going on there. I've noticed a lot kind of that lately. So it's, yeah, it's been interesting and fascinating and really insightful how that's all kind of been developing and, yeah, transpiring of late anyway.
Mm, very interesting. Yeah. I'm sure for, you know, patients that you're helping, you know, give them a lot of comfort too. And, you know, when they're at their end of life, I'm sure just your presence there and just knowing and just you're kind of knowing before that they can communicate that to you, what is going on. And so that's entirely helpful for them too, especially if they can't speak, you know, and they can't verbalize what their needs are. So that is amazing. And that is wonderful that you can provide that for them.
Yeah. I've had a few of them, you know, kind of come to me afterwards once I've transitioned. I've literally been at work, and I always say this: when I'm at work, I'm kind of focused on my job. I'm not picking up on spirit. I'm not necessarily doing that. I'm focusing on my job, and a lot of the times it's very busy and it's go go go, and I really don't have time for anything but focusing on my job. But there have been a lot of times when I've literally been in the middle of something and, oh my god, Mrs. Jones, like, you know what I mean, like, I can feel her, she's there. And it's often that it's very quick, and it's very like that fit. They give me this sense and feeling of, hey, I'm okay. Hey, thanks. Hey, look at me, I'm walking. Look at me, I feel great again. I'm myself again. It's that feeling of, wow, like, this is amazing. Like, look at me. You know, I feel great. I feel like I'm 50 again. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I'm 40 again. This is amazing. And it's that quick little pop in, hey, I'm good, thanks, see ya. And it's that feeling. And then I know for me, it's that also that feeling of, wow, you know, like, I feel happy for her, like, that's great, you know, like, look at her, she's great, I know she's okay, I know that she's all right. So yeah.
That's awesome.
Dennis, do you have, with some of your experiences with spirit, as you're just mentioning, there, you know, them popping in and giving you that validation that they're okay, that confirmation. Do you have an experience where, a very funny experience that you can remember with spirit, or anything like that? Do you have, like, whether you're giving a reading or just an experience you had with spirit that was very funny?
I have had a few readings where actually I had a particular reading where I was with a client and I started off connecting with her grandfather and, you know, communicating and passing on the messages from her grandpa, and that was all great. And then we moved on to the next relative, you know, the auntie or whatever, and then the next spirit came through and I was relaying this information, and, you know, and she was quite emotional about it, and it was, you know, she was validating it, and it was great. And but I couldn't quite, I didn't know whether it was, okay, is it the uncle, is it is it the grandpa on the other side, like, who am I connecting with? Yeah, she was validating everything I could. It was about halfway through the reading where she was like, yeah, well, that's my horse, and you're talking to the horse. So I'm like, oh my god, okay, so you're a horse, okay, we're really good. And that was when I hadn't really had a lot of animals come through to me in readings, you know, animals are spirit just like us, but I was so used to reading, you know, the deceased loved ones, the aunties, the uncles, the mums, the dads, like I said. But all of a sudden I'm like, okay, so I'm talking to a horse, this is happening, okay, great, let's do this, talk to me, what do you want to say? Oh, okay, let's do it. And it was that. And that was one of the first times I'd done that. And I was, after the reading was over, I reflect on it and just had a bit of a giggle and laugh to myself, because I'm like, wow, that was amazing. Like, spirit, animals especially, I find, are so open. They're so open, and they're so, they're beautiful, but they're such an open book, you know. They're so, there's just something different about when you get to communicate with animals when they come through in a reading, for me anyway. It's there's something really special there. Yeah.
Funny. Thank you for sharing that. Oh, I love it.
Beautiful.
That's fabulous. I love when they show up, though, because it is such a different energy that they'll bring to the table. And I find it hilarious for a lot of the clients because they see us talking and getting the information no different than if it is grandma or grandpa. And yet it's the animal, it's the soul that was in the animal that is, you know, very articulate and very on point and blunt a lot of times. More blunt than they would really like, than we would prefer they were.
So true. Oh my goodness. Yep. They don't hold back.
No. They have a much more very clear on point about what their human people need to know. Yeah. So I'm kind of curious, though, with working, I know my mom worked in nursing homes all of her career as an RN as well. And with having the sensitivity to spirit, some people really struggle with having to see so much loss happening on a regular basis. So what tips or what is some of the things that you do to navigate that, you know, that because you're a healer, an empath, a medium, and yeah, you're in career, in your job mode, but you're still human. It's a natural part of your humanity. So how do you work with that?
With great difficulty. Some people, you know, at work of late, everyone knows that I'm a medium. A lot of them now know what I do. As co-workers started discovering that I was indeed a medium and I could do this, they had so many questions for me, so many questions like, oh my God, how do you, like, do you see them? Do you feel them? Do you get overwhelmed? Do they, like, annoy you? How do you, like, when you're working, like, are they there? And all these sorts of things, you know, how do you deal with it? Like, do you get emotional? So for me, I've kind of dealt with loss at a really, really, really young age. So that's kind of something that I was kind of forced to deal with in a way, in a sense. I've been okay with, you know, I've literally had, you know, clients pass away literally in my arms as I've been caring and nursing them. So I've dealt with death and I'm okay with that. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't be doing it. But for me, it's kind of been ingrained there. It's something that, like I said, I was forced to deal with when mum passed when I was really young. So I think that's kind of, in a way, kind of helped me be okay with it. And I've always had this sense and this feeling of knowing that, but I know it's not the end though. Just when we pass away, I know that that's not, it's just a new beginning. It really is just a new beginning. It's just a new state of being. So I've always kind of been okay with it. I'm all right with it. Everyone kind of deals with it differently. But I do think those earlier childhood things have kind of helped set me up in a way, if that makes sense, of kind of being okay with being able to process it. Like I said, I'm a big empath, so, you know, I'll feel things and I'll pick up on things and I'll have my moments, you know, where I just need to take 5 or I need to take 10. But a lot of the times, especially if we're talking about work, if I'm at work, I'm more focused on doing the best that I can for them. I'm focused on that and I'm not really worrying about or kind of in the moment picking up on that, because I'll deal with that later and I'll take the time with myself and my guides or, you know, whoever it is, and we'll kind of work through it together later on. And I always have that kind of debrief with my team. So yeah.
So I'm also curious about hubby. Tina had shared a meme today that just cracked me up. That was so the epitome of most of our partners, I'm sure, and many other healers and mediums could relate, of our partners having these very bewildered looks sometimes on their faces when we're talking about our work day, you know? Or, you know, they know we have these careers that are in this lane over here, and then there's the other career in the other lane that are complete opposite, and we get the really funny looks. So how, luckily your husband is a nurse, but how is he with the spirit element being brought in and such a major part of your life at home as well? Because I know for all of us, it's not something we can just, you know, when we go home, it's not the briefcase that gets set off to the side. It's integrated into who we are. So how is he navigating that?
So yeah, he's great. When we first got together, I was still kind of discovering what my mediumship was, what it is for me, and I was kind of figuring all that out still. I hadn't, you know, I was doing a lot of that. But in the early, you know, year or two when we got together, when he discovered that's what I could do, you know, I had a deck of tarot cards. I bought my very first deck of Archangel Michael tarot cards that I would just play with and just, you know, have fun with, and I'd start off doing that and practice readings on myself and what have you. And I'd always make sure that whatever, but one day I left them out and he saw them and was like, oh, so what's that? And I was like, oh, that's nothing. It's just, oh, never mind that. It's just something silly, don't worry. And he was like, no, what is that? What are you doing? And so I explained it to him, and at first the look on his face was, oh my God, okay. He was, you know, he wanted to be supportive, but at the same time he was that, and I could, and the thing is, we and I know you know this, Shannon, but you can tell me one thing verbally, but your energy will tell me what's really going on. And so his words were like, oh, okay, that's, wow, okay, that's cool, that's blah, blah, blah. But his energy was like, oh my God, 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 what is he doing? What is this? Like, it was that kind of a thing. And now we've been together 6 years married. So he's lovely. He gets it. He's used to the crazy spirit thing. He knows. I've literally had, you know, we've had times when I'm like, oh, by the way, your grandmother's here and she's saying da 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 da. And he'd be like, oh, hey, granny. Okay, thanks, Dan. You know, I go, your uncle's here and he's saying, you know, what were you doing? What were you saying the other day or whatever? He's so used to it. You know, I have clients that come home and have readings, you know. So he's used to all that. Like I said, when I had my first event, he was spearheading that. He loved it. He was actually more excited at, I swear he was more excited about it than I was. I was a bundle of nerves. He was like, no, come on, Dan, we've got to do this and I'll help you organize it. We'll advertise, we'll do this, we'll do that, we'll have this many. I'm like, and at one point I was like, hold on, just calm down, come back to me. You know, he's a really, he's a big supporter. He's learnt along the way. You know, we've kind of both learnt in our own ways. He's kind of learnt to kind of accept the craziness of it all and accept it. And yeah, he's great. What can I say? He's great. I'm lucky.
That's good. Because, I mean, we need a very good support system, and our partner is that, hopefully, that person that can handle the craziness that comes with spirit, because there's times they show up that is not anticipated with messages that you're just kind of like, okay, all right, now I know. Mine do it all the time with the living room light. Oh, somebody's calling for you, the light came on. My husband now, he just kind of looks at it and goes, it's for you. Okay, thanks. That's what 20 years will do, you know. They're kind of like, oh, it's for you, they're calling. Oh, okay, thanks. But I love that he's, is he also having to learn like some of the energy management stuff to help you when you're having times that the empath and the nurse and the medium are like having those intense, holy crap, there's just too much energy or there's too much happening that you're picking up on. Has he been having to dive into that whole energy management role with you?
Yeah, it's funny when you spend years with someone, they get to know you, you get to know one another. And every time when you know, he knows when something's up, even if I say, oh no, I'm fine, he's like, no, I can tell, I know you, what's, especially if I'm kind of, if I'm having a moment or if I'm overwhelmed, or whatever it may be, if I'm going through something, he always just knows, no, Den, I can tell, you know, I can tell something's up, what's up, talk to me. You know, or if I'm I have these moments, and I didn't know that I was doing this, but I have moments where I was a spirit or whatever that I'm doing, and he's picked up and he knows that I didn't know that I was doing that, but apparently I do that sometimes. But even in those moments where there's just a lot energetically going on, not just with spirit, but just energetically going on for me. Like as an empath, I feel things. So if someone's kind of been annoyed or angry at me, I take that on board 10 times. When I was a kid, you know, when I'd get in trouble, off my dad, you know, he'd say whatever he could say, you know, whatever it was, but I'd feel it 10 times worse than I'd take it on board. And it was always, it's that. So, and I still do that sometimes. I'm getting better at it, but it's that's those moments when Darren, he knows, he can pick up on it, you know, because he's used to it and he sees me and he knows what's going on. You're not yourself today, or you're quiet today, or what's going on with you. Even if I'm trying to portray a front, he knows, he can tell. He just, you know, and he'll and sometimes, you know, I'm like, no, I'm fine, it's okay, I'm not ready to go there yet. So, you know, God love him, he puts up with me sometimes, but yeah, so what can I do? It is what it is, I suppose.
Dennis, I have a question for you. The way you pick up things with people, do you also pick them up when you're around different animals?
I have kind of been noticing lately, I've been doing a little bit of that. I've noticed that kind of subtly. I've kind of been doing that a bit lately. So that's been interesting, actually. That's kind of been an interesting development. Like you're always kind of forever learning things along this kind of crazy journey. You just, when you kind of think you've got a handle on something, like with my mediumship, when I think I've kind of gotten my head around it, it kind of will, I don't know, another element will kind of come into play, and I'll have to kind of adjust to, okay, well, what is this? Like the healing thing will come on board, and I'm having to deal with that, or the animal thing, you know. So yeah, it's kind of, I've been noticing a lot of that lately, and that's been really fascinating. It's kind of cool, it's interesting. I love it. I love learning. So I've enjoyed my I'm enjoying the learning and the discovery. I'm like a child at play. I love it. It's been fun, really.
Okay.
I love that. What now, I know out in the community there's always about, you need to be doing your meditation every day. And you need to do, you know, there's like this long laundry list of what we're supposed to do every day. And I know none of us get to that laundry list of what we're supposed to do every day for managing all of this. But, you know, with you having such the hands-on in the nursing side, and then having the spiritual side, and having that playfulness with it, which is fabulous. I'm so glad to see that with you. What other things do you use to manage your energy or all of the stuff that's, you know, having to process and be felt? between the two aspects of life?
So for me, kind of as a coping mechanism, especially as a child when things were going on, I'd always talk to spirit. As a kid, I always did that. And so even to this day, I'll sit down and have a bit of a chat with my team, my guides and my mum. I'll always kind of sit down and have a conversation with my mother. And so that's the way that I kind of process and deal with everything. Because for me, I need that time to just process my day, to process what I've experienced, to process what I'm going through. And as much as Darren, he's wonderful and is amazing, but sometimes he might not quite understand what I'm really, you know, what I'm really going through. He does understand it to the extent that he can, and he's great, but sometimes I just need that. And Shannon, I've often, you know, messaged you now and then with things, and you know, and Michael as well, and other, you know, friends that I've got, but sometimes I just need that time to just take, you know, take that time to just process it in my own way.
Yeah, very good.
As I can, and
as you're talking, I'm thinking about myself. I'm exactly like that as well. I really need to, it's just detriment that I have that alone time and then I have that quiet. Yeah. Otherwise my insides are just kind of like, wah, you know, from everything. And I get overstimulated with it all, that I need to, you know, get back down to earth and have that. And sometimes it's only just 15 minutes and then I'm good to go. But yeah, my family as well, they've had to kind of get used to the fact that I just need silence. I have to have silence, you know, it's so important. And it's funny you mentioned about the staring off, and I do it too. And I never really, as you're saying it, I'm like, huh, I do that too. And I never realized, and it's exactly it. And other people do see me, because I've had people say, are you okay? What are you thinking about? Or what are you doing? And it reminds me of that, because I'll hear something, because I'm predominantly clairvoyant and clairaudient. And so I'll turn my head where I hear something, or I'll get some feedback, and I'm processing it. I just kind of space out for a little bit. And so it's interesting, because I've never had anybody else say that. And I'm realizing now that I do it too, so.
Yeah, I've literally had friends that have been like, hello, are you okay? I'm like, what? Yeah. Like, yeah, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine, bye, I'm here. What did I just say? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't remember. I swear I thought, wasn't I? Okay, yeah, I've done that. Like I said, it was only, you know, friends and my partner was like, you know, you do that, right? I'm like, do I? Really? Because it doesn't seem like, I have a thought and then that'll be it. But for them, it's obviously longer than just the thought. It takes me, yeah, anyway, I'll kind of
forget. Exactly, right. For me, it's like a second, but apparently I'm there maybe a little bit longer than that second.
Do you do it where it's kind of like you're having this whole other conversation?
Yes.
Like, exactly. I do that a lot, and I'll be like, no, why aren't you answering me? And my husband will be looking at me going, because you aren't talking with your lips. And I'm like,
yeah, that's
funny. Oh, we were having a great conversation. Really, we were.
Like, you should have heard it was great.
Oh, it was great. Yeah, I'm guilty of that one. You're totally you get in that thought. And especially when you're connecting to spirit, they're like, yeah, yeah. I swear they grab right onto it. And you're like sitting there and totally spaced out, having this fabulous conversation. There's so much innovation and creativity going on. And nobody else knows about it. Everybody else is like, where are you?
Guilty. I do that. Yep.
Well, at least all of us can agree we all do it. So we're a good group.
part of the process.
Yeah.
You know where I've been doing that too? Obviously, I do the exact same thing for different reasons. But so if I went to make a bracelet or a necklace, I would just, you know, pull in and out with the beads, you know, playing with designs. But now I don't do that. I go and sit on the couch and I design it in my head. So it saves all that physical time. I figure it all out in my head and I'm thinking, ooh, that works better. Because you're not physically doing where it's going to take you so much more time because you're going to throw them down, you're going to move them around, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm just doing it that way. And it's interesting because when Tesla was alive and he was planning whatever he was going to do with all his inventions, he'd work it out in his mind first. He goes, yeah, that's where I troubleshoot it as well. He'd be like, no, that's not going to work. Oh, this is going to work. And he'd do it all in his head. And then he'd go and do it actually in the physical. It's really fascinating.
Very cool. Very cool. So how are you navigating with having so much kind of external chaos going on? There's a lot of grief energy that is surrounding the planet at the moment. So I'm kind of curious how you're working with that and what you're noticing with clients as well that are being drawn in with having this very different external input coming into the picture.
I have noticed a lot that lately the readings, you know, they're wanting more. They want to know, they want direction, they want purpose, they want fulfillment, they want to know what it means for them, what all this means for them personally, and how they can understand. They just want direction. They really want direction and purpose and meaning, and want to figure out, well, what is this? What is this going on? What does this mean for me? What am I supposed to be doing? What am I supposed to be doing in my life? Because I don't know. Help me kind of understand, figure out, you know, what is it that I'm meant to be doing? And there seems to be, and I don't know if you've experienced it, but there seems to be a lot of that. A lot of, it's a transitional period. It's a transitional phase. It feels very transitional. It's a lot of, for me personally, and a lot, it's a lot of letting go of all the stuff that no longer serves you, that no longer serves us, that just doesn't resonate anymore, that doesn't hold value anymore. Maybe getting rid of belief systems, or maybe integrating other aspects of a belief system into what you thought you knew or what you thought you believed, rediscovering certain things, or wanting a new purpose or direction. There's a lot of that going on. There's a lot of sifting through a lot of stuff, and there's a lot of sifting through emotional stuff and working through emotional stuff and having a lot of stuff bubble to the surface and trying to figure out, well, why is this coming up for me? What does this mean? I thought I dealt with that. I healed from that. I swear I healed from that. I thought I dealt with this. I thought I had, you know, dealt with this head on. There's a lot of that, especially for me personally. I've had certain things come up to, you know, bubble to the surface again. I'm not sure if I've had conversations with you about it, Shannon, but I've had to kind of, you know, been and my guides have literally said to me, no, but you can't bury these things anymore. They're not going to stay buried. They're going to bubble to the surface every now and then, and they're going to force you and want you to, you know, kind of confront it head on. You need to tackle it head on, because the days of just suppressing things and just pretending that they're not there, that don't work no more. Sorry, but that's not going to fly. You can't hide anymore. There's nowhere to hide, literally. That's how it feels like. So even though people can't, you know, when clients come for readings, they can't quite articulate that, but energetically, that's what they're telling me. That's what I'm getting. I don't know whether you've noticed that as well, but that's what I've noticed anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree. I've noticed a lot of that. It's a lot of that stripping down into the very vulnerable stages of who we are and reevaluating. I've noticed a lot of that theme going on from spirit guides' messages as well, has been like, no, this is kind of like taking you back to naked, so that way you can look and go, okay, now how do I want to dress it again, you know? Yeah. and change what hasn't been working and really reevaluate where we are and who we are. Individually and collectively, I've noticed it's been like a big theme going on since last year. And it's almost like this year, the magnifying glass has gotten bigger and stronger. You know, it's like the sun is a little bit more at that 12 o'clock on the magnifying glass on the anthill. You know? Yeah. Going, hey, check it out. You know, yeah. Yeah, and it's definitely bringing up the old stuff and going, no, you know, don't put it back in the closet. Don't hide it again. And, you know, I've had to ask my own team about that because I've been working on this second book, which is very much an emotional roller coaster ride. And I was like, God, you know, I've done so much healing. Why is this being such a more problematic, I guess. I'm not quite sure, to have to look at it again. And they're basically like, well, because as a collective, you're not getting the opportunity to just put Band-Aids on and then pretend those scars don't exist anymore. Instead, we're going, no, take all of that off of it and let's show it. Let's show the scars for what they are and allow their beauty to be seen, because it's part of what has helped everyone become what they're needing to be in the moment, from global down to the one ant, you know? Yeah. And that made sense to me of going, okay, so I can see this with COVID as a collective magnifying glass on the anthill, and bringing that healing into the single ant exposure in that way of going, yeah, you know what? It's time to not put those things and hide them like you should be ashamed of them. It's time to bring them out and show them for the scars that they are, and then see the beauty that they have.
Absolutely. It's kind of, for me, it's kind of like, it feels like, you know, it's like the divine masculine's been like kind of wanting to dominate for such a long time. And it kind of feels like, in the way that it's been articulated to me by my team, it's like the divine feminine is like, well, listen, I'm here. And it's time that we kind of co-create together when we balance this shit out, excuse my French, but we balance this stuff out and find a kind of harmony and balance between the two, because it kind of feels like, you know, for, you know, eons and eons, and God knows how long, it's just been the divine masculine that's kind of been trying to control stuff, you know, and been trying to dominate. And it kind of feels like this awakening and this transitional, and a lot of guys out there, a lot of men are like, you know, people that have come to my events have been, you know, there's been, you know, the wives have been dragging the men, but they're intrigued, they want to know more. You know, the personal trainer that I see, you know, he's been asking me all sorts of questions about his spiritual stuff, he's noticed things, he wants to know more. And there's a lot more guys, and that's one of the things that Ryan Adranga was telling me. You know, he wanted to kind of encourage and inspire more men to come out, you know, dive into your own spirituality, discover your own, you know, don't be afraid to feel things, don't be afraid to kind of want to explore the spiritual side of stuff. It's not just, you know, for the feminine, for the women. Like, come on, like, guys, let's get out there and let's, you know, deal with our stuff. Let's heal from our stuff. Let's process our stuff. Let's you know, it's let's encourage more men to come out of the woodwork and yeah, you're nodding. I know you feel me. I don't know if I'm articulating myself in my mind. This is great, but yeah,
you are. But it's a very vulnerable place to show. Yeah. It's such a vulnerable place, and that's why I love, you know, being able to feature men like you, Dennis, because there are a lot of men who are very attuned, but to show that side of themselves has always been told that would be girly or not acceptable. It's not manly. It's, you know, vulnerable, and it's going to show some very deep emotions to it, and they're told, you know, no, you need to buck it up, you know, cowboy, here, you got to go be tough and bury all the emotions down. So I love being able to, you know, talk to you and things like that, to be able to show that, you know, it is time for them to let the cowboy have a rest and put your boots up every now and then. You know, us women, we're not going to be looking at you going, you know, we're going to be like, oh yeah, let me put my boots next to him, and let's talk much more deeper and explore so much more, you know. And I think if they can realize that just letting that little bit of conversation be open would really change a lot of the dynamics, and especially the energy and that we're dealing with right now. It's really kind of pushing everybody about those kinds of things.
Yeah, it does force you to re-examine things and look at things from another perspective, and that can be challenging and confronting. And especially if you're not ready to do that and you're not quite there yet, and that's okay. Everyone's, hey, you know, we're all kind of along this crazy journey and figuring it out for ourselves. I don't certainly have everything figured out, but it's yeah, there are some people that are just not, they're not ready, they're not wanting to, they don't want to, they're not ready to do that, they don't want to discover, you know, their inner feminine energy. They don't want to know about that stuff. They're not interested. They don't care. That's okay. And that's okay. That's fine. It's not for everyone. But there is this general theme of, I've noticed that, especially for guys, it's kind of time to, like, you know, let's deal with our own, let's deal with our trauma, let's deal with our stuff. It's okay to be who you are. It's okay. Don't have to always portray this thing that society says we're supposed to be. No, we're not. That's over now. Let's not do that. We've done that. Let's not do that. Anyway.
I love that. Yeah. All right, Dennis. So what would be your one gem piece of advice to the listeners that are going to hear us, that are either wanting to take this adventure or getting pushed?
Buckle up. It's going to be a hell of a ride. It's I would say buckle up. I really would. Be prepared to be pushed, dive in head first. You'll love it. It'll be amazing. Discover, be like a child and just let it, just, you know, play with it, enjoy it, enjoy learning about it, enjoy discovering that side of you that you didn't even know was there.
Yeah.
Because it'll be worthwhile. It really will be beneficial and worthwhile. You get so much out of it, even more than what you even think.
I love that.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Love that.
All right, everybody. I want to thank you so much, Dennis, for being on with us this evening. This concludes our show. And how and where can people find you?
Thank you so much for having me. It was so much fun. You can contact me through my website, which is my name, dennismiranda.com, and that's Dennis with two N's. That's my website. That's where you can contact me. I do have a Facebook page as well, but all of that's in the website. You'll see it. So that's probably the easiest way to contact me, or if you're intrigued and want to know more about who I am and what I do. Thanks.
Excellent. Thank you, Dennis. And thank you, ladies. And I will see you guys soon.
Good night.
Good night.